Thank you. You know, we celebrated this weekend, right? 250 years in the greatest nation that I feel like there ever has been. If you've had the opportunity to be anywhere else in the world, you can see that. If you've left this land and went to another nation, another country, you can definitely see that we definitely live in the greatest nation. You know, this weekend's been a big time celebration, as yesterday was celebrated as 250 years as being a nation. That's a milestone. It's a really big one. And, you know, we look at these 13 colonies that declared independence from a tyrannical reign of England, right? At least that's what they told us. That's all we know, right? We've never really dealt with that situation, that problem. But it was a historical and a monumental declaration that created a nation. Right? And that it changed the world through that creation. You know? And it created a nation that changed the world through leadership and also a Christian servant's heart. Right? And if you look at history, and you know, there's different accounts on it for the purpose and the reason of why the founders wanted a new government, a new nation. But one of the other things that you can look through Scripture and you can find that is God set leaders in places and positions throughout Scripture. If you read the Word, it says God placed them where they're at. You know, we elect presidents, we elect governors and different ones. But I still have to believe in my heart and my spirit that God placed those people in those positions. No matter what our vote really was, that don't subtract from our need to vote, not being political. But we still need to exercise those rights that we have as an American. But I still think the Father has a great hand in who's placed in power and positions. You know, it talks about Pharaoh. So God more or less created him for that particular moment, for that time. He placed in his heart and his mind what he wanted in him and how he wanted him to act and operate. And I feel like that's what God has done for us. But, you know, he's made us a superpower in military ways as others. But one of the greatest things, the attributes that I feel like America has, is it's been one of the biggest missionary outreaches that ever has been. That's what America was really created for, I believe, as much as anything, and the God-given desires and rights for us to share the gospel. We still have that right in America today. I'm afraid that there might be a possibility that these young ones, that they might see a day that those rights be removed. Our independence to worship God wholly and freely might be taken away. And if there's leadership in America today that would love to do that, let's be honest. But God. But I want to talk about a little bit about independence today. You know, I kind of looked it up, and this is what I just want to read, what I read and found there. But, you know, and like I said, God had his hand on founding the United States and its success this far. He had a plan and he had a purpose for us. And I don't really believe that's completely over with yet. He had a plan and he had a purpose for this church, just like Delana just shared with us. The enemy's got a plan and a purpose. But God. Do you want to walk in God's provision? Do you want to walk in His grace and His mercy? Or do you want to walk against Him? That's really the only options we have. But independence. I want to just share this definition of independence. Being independent means not relying on someone or something else. How many of you like to be independent? Some of us really like to be really independent, right? We don't want to share. We don't want to help. We don't want to do anything. You know, I kind of suffer from that a little bit myself. I'd rather just do it than ask somebody to help. Is that right? Not always. It can be a hindrance. It can be trouble for you, right? But this goes on to say, not being controlled or heavenly influenced. For example, the Declaration of Independence in the United States asserted America's break from the control of England. We refer to political, financial, or relational independence, whether sought by leaving our parents' home to make a life for ourselves or a nation fighting for the right to self-governance. Achieving independence of some kind is a goal of many people have. People in industrial Western countries often see independence as something to be fought for at all cost. But can we or should we be truly independent? That's really, I guess, the question today. Can we or should we be truly independent? I think as a nation we should be. As individuals we can be somewhat. But when it comes to God, we need to be dependent on the Father. That's one that, you know, I mean, this is kind of like our thoughts and our desires about working together with other denominations, other people, other churches. Is the key to it all is Jesus is the only way. That's one area that we will not compromise. We won't back up. We won't doubt. We won't fear. But that's the thing that. And I'm going to kind of get away from my notes, and y'all just hang on while we hit a rabbit trail and just squirrel. But God gave us the right to be independent, didn't He? He created us that way. That we could make a decision to accept Him, or we could make a decision to walk away from Him. We can make a decision to be obedient, or we can make a decision to be rebellious. And you say, well, I didn't make a decision at all. Yeah, you did. If you didn't make a decision, you're still being rebellious. Right? And that's the way God sees it. But I got some questions here and some points to these questions. And I'll share some scripture that I already put them in, so you don't have to try to keep up with me. Ms. Dorso, put them on the screen for you real quick. But if you can't write them down, I'm going to be using the New Living Translation this morning just for the simple fact that it kind of makes things a little easier to read quickly. But the first question is, in what ways can independence be good? You know, so there is pluses to being independent. And that's physically and scripturally and everything else, right? What does it tell us to do as married couples? Are you supposed to be dependent on your parents forever when you decide to get married? What does it tell you to do? Leave and cleave. That's independence from your parents. But these are ways that independence can be good. The first point is, those who have trusted in Christ as Savior are no longer dependent on desires and urges of the sinful nature. They are independent and free to do what's right. You ever thought about it that way? We're independent. We have freedom. But in that freedom, we have the freedom to do what's right. How many people do we see that in their freedom they do what's wrong? Right? How many of you done what's wrong? But I got several scriptures here to go along with that. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32, and then 34 through 36. It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Right? Are you really free if you don't have the Son to set you free? Or are you really free if you're still a slave to sin? No. We need that independence to understand that we need Him. That freedom comes through Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 23 says, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right." Never thought about it that way, did you? You were free from the obligation to do right. I think about a little saying Donnie used to always say. He said, "He'll do, but he won't do right." That's us, right? Our sinful nature. We'll do, but we won't do right. But it goes on to say, and what was the result? "You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." We have the independence to be able to make the decisions to do right or wrong, to seek Him as a Lord and as a Savior. We have the independence in our heart to make the decisions to either be a slave to sin or be a child of the King. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." So, we're independent and free, but we're free to do what's right. The next point is, if we're completely independent, we don't require the help of others. Each individual independently develops a loving or unloving relationship with God and other people. We got to understand how independence works, don't we? It can be a double-sided sword in all kinds of situations. But each person must independently obey God and be accountable to Him. Independent. You're on your own. It's up to you to make the decisions of what's right or wrong. Like I say, you can't depend on what your mama and your daddy said. You can't be independent or dependent on what the pastor said. It's your independent decisions that make or break what you do. It's up to you to make the right decision. You can't blame it on somebody else. When you stand before the Father, it don't matter what your mom and daddy done. It don't matter what your brother and sister done. It don't matter what the government done. It's going to be up to you to answer for your own decisions and everything else that you've done. Every person must be responsible and lovingly perform the tasks God has given him or her to do in the part of the body. Right? We want to be independent, but we want to be a part of the body. You think about the scripture about the body. It tells us we're all one body, right? But everybody wants to be the head. Nobody wants to be the parts that aren't very pretty, do they? But we're all one body. We can't operate independently of each other. It comes together. But read what this says here. It says, we may do all these things in concert with others, but each person is responsible for his or her decisions and actions. Every team is a group of individuals. Right? We're all separate, but together. That's what the body of Christ is. We're all separate, different individuals, but we're all a part of the body. All to become one and to operate and to work together. Like I say, every team is a group of individuals. They're independent, yet privileged to work together. You get the privilege to work together with each other, to pray together, to fight together, to battle together, to work together, to walk together. You know, I think about what Scripture tells us on that. You know, two's better than one. You know, you can help each other. If one of them falls, the other can help you up. We're called to take individual responsibility for our actions, but also function beautifully together as a unified team. That's what we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 and verse 27 says, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says, instead, we will speak the truth in love. Delana likes to use that one too, right, Earl? We've got to speak the truth in love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We need all the parts of the body to work, right? Can we make it if we chop our arm off to here? We can make it. Is it going to be real easy and a lot of fun at that point? No. We need all the body. We need everybody. Everybody operating together and working as one. But then the other side of things is what are the dangers of independence? And I got several different points on that and some scriptures to go with each one of them. And this first one, I'm not going to read everything that goes, I mean all the scripture, but I just want to share it with you real quick. The greatest danger of independence is thinking we don't need God. How many of you have heard people say, I don't need God, I don't need a relationship with him, I don't want anything to do with that? Like I've told before, there was a guy that we used to work with that when we started talking about church and stuff, he said, I don't want to hear that God stuff, so don't even talk about that around me. And it wasn't 30 minutes he had me cornered up asking me questions. I said, you didn't want to hear about God. You didn't want to know about that stuff. He said, shut up and tell me what I want to know. Y'all heard that before, right? But that's a great danger of people that want to be independent of God. You know, we can be independent, but we don't need to be independent of God. And people need to see that in us as well, right? You know, we're individuals. We're different. Right, we like different things. We understand things differently. We can be independent, but we don't need to be independent of God, and we don't need to be independent of the church. We need to be a part of the body that operates and works together. But this scripture is John chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. It's the parable of the vine and the branches. It tells us that God takes out those that aren't productive, right? Cuts them off, removes them. But we don't need to be independent of God, for sure. The second one is, asserting our independence can cause us to turn from God and depend on our personal resources. How many of you have seen people that, well, I think about little kids is what I think about to start with, and one of the stories they told on one of my little sisters was that her big saying was, "My do it myself." Right? How many of us are still falling in that situation today? "My do it myself." You know, instead of, "Lord, help me. Lord, why am I so bullheaded that I would rather try this myself than depend upon you?" And I guess I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but that's just where we're at, right? We want to depend on our own resources. We want to do it ourselves. God, or instead of even asking God about it, we just, "Well, I can do this." How many of you said, "Well, I can do this, I can change this, I can sell this, I could make this work to make this happen, to get this paid or get this taken care of or to get what I want." Instead of being dependent upon God, you know, we don't want to ask the question because usually we already know what the answer is. "Lord, I really want a new truck." I don't, personally. I don't want a new truck. Not a new one. For one thing, I can't stand the thoughts of paying that kind of money for one. Now, if you want to give me one, I'm not going to not take it. Just let me throw that out there. But how many of you have, instead of asking God, you tried to shift things around to some way so you could get what you wanted without asking God, being dependent upon Him? You know, we don't want to hear no, do we? You know, our patience, right? You know, I heard on the radio the other day, God answers in three ways: yes, no, and not yet. Right? We don't want to hear no, but I think not yet's probably worse than hearing no. Our independent self, we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, instead of being dependent upon God. Isaiah 47, verse 8 and 10 says, "Listen to this, you pleasure-loving kingdom, living at ease and feeling secure. You say, 'I am the only one and there is no other. I will never be a widow or lose my children.'" Verse 10 says, "You felt secure in your wickedness. 'No one sees me,' you said, 'but your wisdom and knowledge have led you astray,' and you said, 'I am the only one and there is no other.'" Our dependence on our self-sufficiency will get us in trouble quick. God will let you have your self-sufficiency and show you just where it gets you. The third one is, independence can be a sin of defiance. Right? "I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way I want to." While God made us to be individuals, He created us to live in harmony with Him, our Creator. And when we insist on exercising our independence to avoid doing what God wants, we are rebelling against Him and refusing to follow His plan for our lives. Rebellion. It's being divided, right? Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 7 and 8 says, "For I solemnly warned you, your ancestors, when I brought them out of Egypt, obey me. I have repeated this warning over and over to this day." He's giving them freedom, right? They had the freedom to choose. He took them out of slavery. "But you need to obey my commands," right? "You need to do this, you need to do this." Is that a list of do's and don'ts? No. He didn't say you couldn't do them, did he? He just said, "If you do." The rest of the verse here says, "But your ancestors did not listen or even pay attention. Instead, they stubbornly followed their own evil desires. And because they refused to obey, I brought upon them all the curses described in this covenant." And we wonder why we have issues. We wonder why we can't get through to God. We wonder why we can't get the things that we're looking for. defines. Number four, independence can often be accompanied by arrogance. No matter how independently we function, we need God to save us from sin and to make us our very best. To think we don't need Him is foolish, arrogance, and pride. What goes before a fall? Pride. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to what I have quoted from the Scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your leaders at the expense of another. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift?" You know, it's a gift from Him, but we act like it's something that we did. We got to understand that the need for independence, but also the need for dependence that goes with it, and who we need to depend on. You know, in conclusion of all this, I found this and I want to share it with you. It says, independence, if left unchecked, can lead to proud defiance and a failure to depend on God. We see it a lot, don't we? We see people that want to be independent from God. They want to be independent from people and everything else. And that defiance leads to pride. It leads to failure. It leads to trouble in their heart and their life. But really what we got to have is balance, right? We got to have that balance and we got to understand it. We got to have independence. And understand that we have the ability to make decisions, but we need to depend upon God to answer and to live and to walk out those decisions. Balance is best achieved by celebrating God's unique purposes for us, carrying them out responsibly together with others, and depending on God fully for the guidance and the strength to do so. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with what? What? Part of it?" I don't think we really get that. You know, when it says all, what does it mean? All of it. That's the difference between being independent and dependent, ain't it? It's all of it. You know, we want to be dependent when we want to be dependent, don't we? But we want to be independent when we want to be independent. And that's not the way God laid us out and planned for it to be. But as Delana and Sonny and Sheila come back, understanding and operating in the independence that God gave us, it can be freedom or it can be bondage, can't it? The outcome of that is all up to us. It's all about our decisions to love Him, to follow Him, and to seek Him with wisdom and the love and the grace and to be a part of the body. You know, and that's an awesome thing about being a part of the body is being able to come alongside and help and walk things out with each other. Right? We can be independent and we can struggle and we can fight, or we can be dependent upon God and dependent upon each other and walk this thing out. And God can do great things for all of us as well as through us. You know, one of those other sides of that yes, no, or not now could be that I think somebody did say there might be a fourth one that God says, "I got something better." How many of you always like something better? If we're going to be honest, we're going to say, yeah, I'd rather have something better. But today, be dependent upon Him and not independent from Him. Have the ability to make your own decisions, but be dependent upon Him to fulfill those things and what He's called you to do. So let's stand again and let's worship for just a moment. If Anybody who's here today and you're still walking in your own independence and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, if He's speaking to you today, these altars are a great place to fix that problem. We'd be glad to pray with you and pray for you. And if anybody needs prayer for your body or anything else, we'd be glad to come together and to pray with you. Let's worship for just a moment.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you.
Good hymnals. Remember singing those a long time, Just As I Am and all those others. It's hard to get away from them, ain't it? I think a lot of those really show us that dependence upon Him that we need, you know. Softly and tenderly He's calling. You know, and kind of to go back for just a second, I'm not going to hold you, but Delaney was talking about her dream. And if I remember correctly what she told me to start with, it was going down the road somewhere and there was something broke on a trailer or something. But we got out and was working on that, and then that's when I went down and one of the boys was trying to resuscitate, and then they got into it, and then that's where she picks up where she was at. And that's kind of disturbing if you look at it on the family side, right? But it's just as disturbing if you look at it on the church side. And the more I thought about that, the more our boys can butt the heads, that's for sure. They're brothers. How many of you got a brother that you've ever had a fight or two with, or sisters? I mean, you know, but I'd like to think that they would at least come together if something was happening to me. I think at least one of them would anyhow. I know she's got my back, But after she shared that with me, I thought about it for several days, maybe a week or so. When I finally told her one day, I said, that dream didn't have anything to do with our boys specifically. That's a spiritual dream is what it was about. And as a body, we got to have that dependence on the Father to listen. That dependence upon Him to answer. And that dependence upon Him to prepare the things before we get there. If He's called you into something, He'll prepare you before you ever get there. There again, that wait is that part we don't like. We don't like the preparation side of it, do we? You know, we see it a lot of times in our jobs and different things that the preparation of getting to the end, the final part of it, is what stinks, ain't it? We just want to see the glory when it all is finished, not the work we have to do to get there. But God's preparing a great work, I feel, here as well as our community. And it's up to the body of Christ to have the dependence upon Him and each other to walk through that and to do what He's called us to do. You know, we're coming here next month. Will be 10 years that this has been a body of Christ. I don't know about y'all, but that's amazing to me that it's been 10 years already. Some days it's kind of like marriage. It feels like it's been 100 years, and some days it feels like it's been 2. But like she said, we're honest. We're open. She feels the same way. She just said it. But, hey, I mean, God is real, and God wants to do great things. Do you want to be a part? Do you want to see what He's got for us? Then it takes a commitment on our part to be dependent upon Him and Him alone. And then to walk it out as the body of Christ. To be the hands and the feet of Jesus to do what He's called us to do. And that's to love on people, to restore the broken and the hurting. If you've been broken, if you've been hurting and you've been restored, you understand what that's all about. If you hadn't, you better hold on, because it could be coming. That scripture comes to my mind, and I don't know the exact book in place, but where it tells us how we deal with others is what's going to come back to us, is the best way to paraphrase it. If you want to be hard, if you want to be mean and rough or just coarse about your interpretations of scripture, then be prepared for that to come back the way you give it out. Now, I believe we've got to be honest, but I believe we've got to have a heart for Jesus. Just like, do it in love, speak it in love, walk it out in love, operate in love. Just like Jesus, they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery. And I'm here, I'm about to get started again, but how did He handle it? He didn't handle it with anger. He didn't handle it with condemnation. And that's the same way that we should be. No matter what the situation the person sitting next to you could be that comes in this house, we're called to love them. And we're called to lead them to Christ. If you would rather talk about their problems and their situation than to talk with them and to them, then there's an issue, there's a problem. Maybe you're one of those two brothers that are fighting instead of doing what the brother called you to do. Let's just be frank and honest about it. God called us to be His children and to work together as a body, not to work against each other. But I'm going to stop.